We did actually have a question that was posed just a moment ago before we actually started the class. This weekend, of course, is celebrated by Christians all over the world as Easter weekend, Easter, basically. And, of course, Friday night, they call it Good Friday. And then Sunday, they call it, you know, Resurrection Sunday, things like that. And so there was a question that came up is, could we do just a real brief study on Easter? We definitely can do that, but it's hard to do a brief study on Easter because there is just a volume of information. The most important thing to realize about Easter, and this Christian people don't want to hear this, but it's the truth, and sometimes we just have to be aware of it. Easter is a pagan holiday. That's the bottom line, very much so. Almost all it's unbelievable. The amount of quote-unquote Christian churches, I'm talking evangelical denomination, fundamental churches that are celebrating Easter. Easter sunrise service. Come and join our Easter service. Easter is an absolute pagan holiday and feast day. Easter was something that was celebrated by the Gentiles, by the heathen, way, way before the birth of Christ and so forth. And all that happened is that in the Christian generation, they amalgamated the Easter feast with the time around the resurrection of Christ. But Easter is just a pagan holiday. There's nothing Christian at all about it. We don't celebrate at our church. And frankly, the church you're going to, if you go to church tomorrow morning and you guys are having an Easter service, you need to go up to the preacher and ask him why. Why are we celebrating Easter when Easter has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And the standard answer is, well, the reason that we do it is that Christ was raised from the dead around this time, and so we just use it as an instrument to be able to reach people for Christ. And so you go hunt Easter eggs, and so you go pass out chocolate bunnies, and so that's supposed to bring people to Christ, you know? So most important thing to recognize about Easter is that Easter is just a pagan holiday, is all it is. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to Babylon, and actually all the way back to Nimrod, way back in the book of Genesis. And it was part of it was the resurrection, the worship of the goddess Ishtar, all right? And the resurrection of her son. And in the book of Ezekiel, you see them weeping for Tammuz and things like that. So it just goes all the way back there. Now, there is one time in the Bible when you actually see, in your King James Bible, when you see the word Easter. If you go over to the book of Acts chapter number 12 here, Acts chapter number 12, it's the only place in your English Bible, your King James Bible, that you'll see the English word Easter.
And it's only
In the King James Bible. That's correct.
Correctly
in the King James Bible, it's Easter here. All the other translations change it to Passover and so forth. It's chapter 12. This is when Herod, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people, and so on. And that's the only place in the Bible where you see the English word, here comes Rich in the sermon, but that's the only place in the English Bible where you see the word Easter. And those who have a hard time with the King James Bible, they say that this is a bad translation, it should be Passover, and so forth. But if you look at the context actually demonstrates very clearly that the translators were exactly right when they translated this word Easter. Understand this, that Herod, first of all, what would Herod have been celebrating? There's absolutely zero evidence anywhere in the New Testament that Herod was any kind of a Bible believer. There's some people that say that Herod was a Jew. Others say Herod was a Gentile. And you know, it doesn't matter what he was. All the evidence in the Word of God, whether a Jew or a Gentile, he had no interest in faith in the Word of God anyway. So he himself, even if he was a Jew, was not observing the Feast of Passover. And if he was a Gentile, he didn't care. All the indications about Herod is he had no interest in what the Word of God said, period, at all. This guy whether a Jew or a Gentile, he's a heathen, especially by the time you're in Acts chapter number 12, which is the new dispensation, right? This guy's just a plain old heathen's all he is. And another thing is that if you look again, look at verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now the parentheses is really important here. And what does it say, Barry, in the parentheses?
Then were the days of the unleavened bread.
Okay, that is a really important clue. No doubt that the King James translators understood when they translated the word in verse 4, Easter, instead of Passover. Now remember that Israel, in their, they had 7 feasts every year, and those feasts were broken up into a group of three. All right, so you had 3, then 1, and 3. The first was Passover, then unleavened bread, then first fruits. All right, then 50 days after that you had Pentecost, and then in the 7th month you had trumpets, atonements, and tabernacles. So they had the 7 feasts. Here comes some more folks. You had the 7 feasts in Israel's program. All right. Well, the first of the group, it was Passover, unleavened bread, Passover, unleavened bread, and then first fruits. Okay. So Passover was only on one day, and in fact, one evening. Okay, Passover, and then you had unleavened bread, and then it ran 7 days and things like that. So you're into the days of unleavened bread. So when you are told in the parentheses in verse 3, then were the days of unleavened bread, what do you know from that verse?
Passover already happened.
Passover's already done. Okay, Passover's already done. So you're into the days of unleavened bread. So when it says at verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quartorians of soldiers to keep him, intending after, if that was supposed to be Passover, Passover's done already. And Herod wouldn't be observing Passover anyway. So when it says intending after Easter, Herod would have been in observance of a pagan ritual known as Easter. All right? So the translators, when they translated it by that word, they did it exactly right. There's not a problem with that translation. You also know from that verse that Easter was not something that any of the disciples were celebrating. It's not something that the New Testament church, the church, the body of Christ, was celebrating. It's not something that the Apostle Paul told people to celebrate. There's no indication anywhere in the New Testament that Bible believers, the Gentile members of the body of Christ anywhere, observed Easter. Easter is a completely pagan holiday. But the church has adopted it as, quote-unquote, just another money-making, marketing, outreach kind of a concept is all it is.
Didn't that happen in the 3rd century, the Catholic Church, is what I've read?
That's what they say,
That they took it along to try to make it better and make it towards God, just like kind of Christmas deal.
Yes,
you know,
yes. Thing. Yeah, very similar to the concept of Christmas.
The only commandment Paul has given regarding holidays is not to regard one day.
Yes, that is so true.
Anything at all.
Yes.
Forget them.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Tim made the point that the only thing that Paul does have to say about holidays is forget them, don't worry about them, you know, and so forth. So instead of the whole concept of Easter being something that really does honor the Lord Jesus Christ, something that we should do and be so excited about, and everything, especially this Easter sunrise service, the whole sunrise concept, I know they say it's from Malachi, but really it goes back to paganism. The God was going to rise and that kind of thing, the gods and so forth. So now, when people think about Easter, what else do they think about?
Well, the bunnies.
The bunnies?
The fertility, the eggs.
Eggs.
From the fertility goddess that started all the way back.
Springtime. Yeah. Listen, that's all what it is. It is the concept, you know, what do bunnies...
Yeah, rebirth of nature.
Yes. What do bunnies and eggs have to do really with the resurrection of Christ?
Nothing
at all. You see? So it really is just, and I don't know if that answers your question, or at least addresses maybe a little bit and so forth.
No, it's just like one little whole Christmas thing.
Yes.
You know, I just like to see in Scripture that, you know, there's any other places that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only time the word is used. Plus, as Ken mentioned, when Paul does talk about, he says, you observe days and months and times, and look at Galatians, yeah.
Galatians.
Yeah.
If holidays is really a holy day,
Yes, and it is.
And then by not regarding one day ahead of another, not taking it in the negative sense, but taking it in the positive sense, Paul is saying that every day is a holy day.
Every day is.
Not that
yes.
No days are holy
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day is a day to thank the Lord, to worship God, rejoice in the resurrection, not just one day. There you go. Okay. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, he says, ye observe days and months and times and years. And then what's he say in verse 11? Man, I'm afraid of you guys, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I'm afraid of your spiritual well-being, the fact that you guys are getting all involved in all this. But again, I can't tell you the number of churches, the absolute vast majority, I'm not talking 51%, I'm talking about 90, probably 95% of your Christian churches tomorrow are going to be celebrating Easter.
And they also had all the services Friday.
Yes.
And quiet and
yeah.
silence.
Yeah.
So we know that, you know.
Yeah. And Christ wasn't even crucified on Friday. He didn't die on Friday. He didn't die. He had to died on a Thursday. All right. Instead of Friday and instead of a Wednesday. Because if he dies on Wednesday, he's dead too long. If he dies on Friday, he's not dead long enough. He has to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so the only way to have it make sense is he has to die on a Thursday. Okay. You want to remember that Israel's in the Bible. God's reckoning of a day and night is different than the way you and I do it. You and I, as Gentiles, we reckon it from one, from when?
Sundown. Yeah, they start from that, sundown to sundown.
Yeah, see, we go midnight to midnight. That's we as Gentiles and so forth, midnight to midnight. But in the Bible, it starts right. In Genesis, it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Always, you get the pattern all the way from Genesis. The evening and the morning. The evening and the morning. That's how Israel's cycle was. So they would start like at 6 o'clock at night and so on from there. Whereas we go midnight to midnight. So we're the ones that are messed up, really. But so when you think about the 3 days and three nights, when did he die, when was he buried, you don't want to think about it from midnight to midnight. You have to think of it from 6 to 6, Israel's day and so forth.
You somewhere in the afternoon.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
Ballpark.
Yeah, yeah. So he would have died on a Thursday and was up early in the morning on the first day of the week, which would of course have been a Sunday. All right, that thing there. So, but again, just when you think of everything about Easter, there's nothing scriptural about it in the sense that it honors the Lord at all. Plus, just when you look about it, Paul says, "God forbid that I should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." When Paul says the fundamental thing that needs to be proclaimed is the cross and so forth. When you preach, I remember David Dowd said, he said, you know, we're just trying to get people to an old bloody cross. And people don't want to hear about an old bloody cross. They don't want to come to an old bloody cross. Oh, they'll come to a nice pretty cross and a nice pretty tree and nice pretty eggs and a nice chocolate bunny and so forth. You can get people that way. But that's not going to save anybody. They got to get to an old bloody cross, you know, that kind of thing. So again, I don't know if that answers your question, but...
Well, even the time of the year, John, because we know that Christmas things messed up because Christ had to be born in the fall from Scripture. Is the time of year messed up also?
Yes, yeah. It's close to it, but it's not exactly.
Before then?
Later, a little bit later.
Later,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,